As promised, we are going to be visited by a guy that is very familiar with this time slot, but he just takes off whenever he wants and just flies off to go see the fifth major on a whim, and this leaves us to pick up the pieces. Talking about Corby Davidson of the Hardline. Hi, Corby.
Well, thank you. Hi, Donnie. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Corby.
Another trip that Corby's off to that all of the P1s can – it's just so relatable, you know?
Well, luckily Bob is with me, and Bob is on the line right now, too. So.
Oh!
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bobby.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
What a treat.
Hello.
How are you fellas doing?
We're good. We are in sunny right now, absolutely postcard picturesque Wisconsin. Like, I can't imagine it being any better than it is right this very moment.
Try.
Yeah. He's right. This is apple orchard weather right now. This is maybe make a nice picnic weather. Doesn't happen long. You should really embrace it up here.
Bob, why is your voice way deeper on the phone than it is on the air? What, you got a couple ladies you're trying to impress in front of you or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no,
I know why.
I'm sorry.
I know why.
Those Wisconsin beauties?
He just woke up from a nap.
Oh, okay.
Sleepy.
I thought maybe Laverne and Shirley were around there. You're trying
all
to
right,
impress them.
Here we go.
What?
Here they come.
What?
The Milwaukee jokes.
Hello.
So, yeah, we are here for the Ryder Cup, which starts tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We have been watching the preview show. We are geared up. We're ready to go. We determined during Bob's nap that our bus will be leaving at 5 a.m.
Okay.
To get to Sheboygan to see the very first tee shots, which now we learn the first groups will be the teams are Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth going up against John Rahm and Sergio Garcia. So,
oh, what a great battle. And how long does it take for you guys to get to the course from where you are?
Well, I think it takes, 45-minute drive, but then the parking and the logistical nightmare of getting from lots to the actual grounds. And, you know, it's going to be weird. But you know what, Donovan? The logistics, the headache of getting in and out, that's not what we're worried about. We're worried about our American heroes actually playing a little golf for once, because this has gone on long enough, this Ryder Cup problem we've had. And we have just left. Do you guys know what we've just left, Donovan?
No.
We have left the most failed decade in United States Ryder Cup history. There were 5 Ryder Cups in the last decade. We lost 4 of them. 1-4, Donovan.
They've won 3 out of their last 9.
Yeah, it's bad.
We've been awful. Unacceptable.
Did either one of you guys, I don't know why you would have, but maybe you had Sports Day app on, did either one of you guys hear Chambly on this morning with the Musers?
I did not, and it's funny. I was just watching Randall.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah, really,
he was
really,
so good, and
really,
man,
good.
He broke down the travails of the Americans over the last decade, and it made so much sense to me. It's the best reason that I've heard why they've sucked, and he talked about the larger-than-life personalities in that locker room / clubhouse, whatever you want to call it, and the fact that how uncomfortable people just are around Tiger and Phil, regardless of how different they are, that it just doesn't work. Like, the American personalities, the cult of personalities that these American golfers are so huge that it overrides and supersedes any semblance of countrymanship or teamwork that it takes to win this thing. That it basically, their mere presence makes everybody else in the room, makes their booty hole act up, as Washington might have said.
He just did that on TV a second ago and said as much.
Yeah.
Said that Phil's won 3 of the 14 Ryder Cups he's been a part of. Tiger has won 1.
Yeah.
Off 8.
Wow.
I mean, like, unbelievable. But he spelled it out. He was like, they're, like you just said, Danny, they're bigger than the sport. They're bigger than sport itself, Tiger and Phil. And yeah, people just feel small around them, and now they're gone. And
he also blamed saying, he blamed our media for the, I mean, it's not our fault. I mean, you go with whatever story is out there. But now, in a way, are we building that up again with DeChambeau and all of the attention that he's getting? Are we creating another monster, is what I'm saying?
No, you have to have talent, first off. And I'm not saying he doesn't have talent, but you have to win, like, a ton. And Tiger and Phil, they were, you know, they won a ton, especially Tiger, obviously. And Bryson's mm-hmm. not there yet. So he's a bigger-than-life. He's a Paul Bunyan figure, but he's not a god like those two guys have been, and an intimidating god at that. I think they look at Bryson as just another guy on the team, and the Europeans look at him as incredibly beatable. So I don't think you're going to get that with him at all.
It's a wild scene. Right. You know, the whole thing, Danny, is wild, though, because it's kind of like, you know, even playing your dad in horse or something on the driveway where you know you're better, but somehow it just starts messing with your head a little bit, and he starts getting all confident, and he knows that you're going to crack, and you kind of know that you're going to crack. And then I don't know. I mean, people talk about, like, the world ranking, and the United States average world ranking for our players is, like, single digits, and for Europe,
I think it's 9, Europe is 30. I think those were the stats that we had today.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are crazy numbers, but at the same time, those numbers only mean something if the sample size is big enough. And so if they would play every day for a month, we would definitely be better. But it's not that. It's a couple rounds, and it comes down to a couple shots. And so, you know, almost like if the NBA playoffs were single elimination, one game, you wouldn't always have the best teams win. And so they kind of have this mental thing. And then, of course, the course setup in Europe is beneficial to them. Our you know, ours is supposed to be beneficial to us, but even that it's only beneficial over like 10,000 holes. Well, this is at the most you could play 90 holes in 3 days. So it's a really, really interesting tournament. I'm so delighted to actually attend one, but I assume it's probably easier to watch from a TV for people, but nevertheless, it's in Wisconsin. I had to go, and I had to bring Corby.
So, guys, what's the strategy for you guys as far as the weekend goes? Is it following one particular group or camping out at one particular hole so you can see everybody?
I mean, we're kind of flying blind, so I don't know. You know, we're going to get there super early. Like I said, the guys tee off. The first tee balls will go off at about 7:05. We're going to be there hopefully about an hour earlier than that to try to find a spot on the first tee. I do want you guys to watch tomorrow morning when they go off, because the first tee at the Ryder Cup is the whole thing is like a football game with golf being played, but that first mm-hmm. tee shot is so incredibly rowdy and nutso, and the chanting, and I mean, I'm really excited to just be a part of that. And if you probably told me that my whole Ryder Cup trip consisted of first balls go up in the air with all the crowds going absolutely crazy, and then the next three groups going off, and then I had to go home, I'd probably be okay with it, because it's such a legendary part of sport in general. So it's going to be really, really cool, and it's going to be colder than balls too. It's going to be like 46, 47 degrees when we're out there early in the morning, and it's going to be great, man. I don't know, again, like I was talking about yesterday, never done this before. Bob's never done this before, and it's definitely a bigger than bucket list trip. So we're going to be bright and early. We're going to get ready to grab dinner here in a minute, you know, get our minds right, and then head out there super early in the morning.
Maybe go to the range, get something to eat.
Yeah. Do you guys have
what happens?
You have any plans to yell anything as soon as the ball is struck with the club?
Yeah, as soon as Jordan hits a shot, I'm going to say Texas sucks. Just as loud as I possibly can. I'm gonna fire it up.
Do it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So, what would be ideal? And Bob, please, I'd like both of your thoughts on this. What would be the ideal way to watch this tournament? Would it be to camp out at one hole and see every golfer, or would it be better to pick a group and follow them and see every hole. I think the latter would be a no-brainer for me.
I can't wait to try to walk along and follow like a match in particular that strikes us, because we'll have four different opportunities: Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon. And each time you can sort of look at the menu and say, this looks good. The problem with that theory is I think there will be so many people that trying to just keep up with one match in a place that is not necessarily made for the crowd.
Yeah.
Might be impossible. So I have every intention, especially, you know, like Justin Thomas and Spieth. That sounds delightful. I would love to follow them. I'd love to follow some Rory as the weekend goes on and see what he's all about, because he is the boogeyman. If anybody's going to put us to sleep this weekend, it would be Rory. And I fear him, but I'm also pretty obsessed with what he's all about, especially in this event where, you know, that famous moment in Hazeltine up in Minnesota where he hit an unbelievable putt, and then he just starts screaming at the crowd, "I can't hear you!" You know, he's just taunting the Americans, like you're not loud enough. And so it's, you know, I would love to do that, but if there's 40,000 people on the property and there's four matches, that's 10,000 people per match around one golf hole. And then keep in mind, since the holes are all along the Lake Michigan, all the 10,000 are all on one side of the golf hole. So I don't know how this is going to work, to be terribly honest, but we're going to give it our best shot.
Will you put Corby on your shoulders so he can see all the action above the crowd?
That offer has already been made, but I said he had to wear a bikini top to really make it work.
Now we're talking.
And a diaper. A cloth diaper with the one giant pin in the front.
Yeah, actually, in Wisconsin here, we have the special bikini top with the two pieces of cheese covering your tatas.
Yeah.
And then the cheese on the bottom is natural.
Yes. Oh. Everything feels better with cheese.
What did I say?
That's the grossest thing you've ever said.
No, it's not. You're not around me enough. Not even close.
So, Corby, heard that you had a pretty ridiculous travel story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude.
You almost crashed a plane. What happened?
No, I didn't almost crash a plane. So we're all walking on the plane. Obviously, the plane is sold out because everybody's coming up here for the Ryder Cup from Dallas. Mm-hmm. So planes are sold out all day, but we booked ours way out, so we're all good. So I booked a window seat back in May when we booked our flight. And so I walk on. Bob's right behind me. Our traveling buddy Kevin is right behind him. And so literally, I put my bag up, and there is a guy sitting on the aisle, and then there's a guy sitting in the middle seat. And so I do what everybody does who's ever been on a plane before and say, "I'm in the window seat." And that is your cue, obviously, if you're on either one of those other seats, to get up and to let the other guy in who's got the window. And it's American Airlines, so it's not like Southwest where you just kind of, you know, free-for-all it. You have your assigned seat. So the guy in the middle, the guy on the end gets up. The guy in the middle, a big dude, looks at me, and he goes, "Oh, okay. You want me to just slide over to the window seat, or you want me to get up, and you can have that seat?" And I go, I want you to get up so I can have that seat. Yes, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, the one that I paid for.
There's not a chance you said it with that tone, though.
What if you're one of those guys that likes middles?
Yeah.
I was so taken aback by it, though. There's no doubt he had tried this before. We're like, "Yeah, okay, just slide over there then, right?" "No, sir, I want you to get up so I can sit in my seat that I purchased." And he was like, and then he looked dejected, and I felt like a jerk saying,
"Why?
I would rather you get up." Like, I felt like the bad guy. It was so weird.
Was he a great big fat person?
Yes, he was a great big fat person.
That's why he didn't want to sit in the middle.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
right.
He wanted the...
You know what? Book your flight earlier and pick your own seat. That's what I say.
And he
should not feel bad at all. You should not feel bad at all for that.
He was one of those...
More of a guard than a wide receiver, Danny.
He's so large that the entire time he had his arms crossed because his whole body was too big for his arms to be lurking, because they would just be hanging off like just big strips of beef off either side of his armrest.
Okay. There's no reason to talk about them like that.
Strips of beef.
Did you have your
face? Up here in Wisconsin, we're a sturdy bunch.
Did you have your face pressed against the window because you didn't have enough room?
Well, then I tried to make myself as small as humanly possible, yeah, and curl up in a little ball in the corner because I didn't want to touch this meat over there. Sweaty.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Real quick, though, we are, as I said, we're at it's Chamber of Commerce Day. We're in Milwaukee right now, and then we make the drive tomorrow. And we're outside our patio right now, and Bob is about 100 yards away from me right now, yet we're on the same patio overlooking a peaceful lake where with mallards drifting to and fro into said lake. Lagoon, if you will, Danny.
Oh, man, you know how much I love a lagoon.
I know. So my nephew, his in-laws have a place up here, and the in-laws are not here. And so me and Bob and our aforementioned buddy Kevin and John Lookabaugh and my nephew James are all here kind of riding herd over this this house in Milwaukee, and it's quite nice. We've got quite lucky.
It is quite nice. You wouldn't believe it. You know what? It just demonstrates once again that Corby knows people.
I'm related to this person, though, so this one is a little bit different.
Yeah, but I've gone with McDowell a lot of places, and I have yet to overlook a lagoon. So you're way up on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's
the closest Bob's ever got. He got in trouble watching Blue Lagoon when he was 12.
Right.
So not that bad.
First 14-year-old boob.
Well, fellas, you guys have a fantastic time up there at the Ryder Cup. That sounds like an awesome trip. I could tag along, but
we got to talk to the moose.
Yeah, have fun. And you know what? I have a hookup out there for a nice restaurant. I'll call if you want me to. It's called Arnold's.
Oh, wow.
They have a great jukebox.
Yeah.
And it's free if you know this dude in a leather jacket.
Yeah, there's a telephone in the bathroom and everything. Yep. So I can make that call if you need me to.
I heard the jukebox requires a certain strategy to get it to turn on. Is that
it's
right?
It's free. It's free, but you have to know this dude that wears a leather jacket. He can get you some free credits.
Right.
So thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
You guys,
we're here to help.
Have fun and bring me back a golf ball or something.
Yeah,
I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win.
There
they go.
On a patio in Wisconsin for the Ryder Cup.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.